Hey All Saints, it's so good to be with you wherever you're joining with us, whether you're at home, whether you're watching with a bunch of other people. It's great to have you join us on a Sunday to do church together and to hear from God's Word. I'm Viv, if I haven't met you before, and I'm really excited to bring us this talk, looking at the whole idea of how we can be transformed in different areas of our Christian walk. So today we're looking at something which involves meeting together, which involves community. But I want to start by asking, have you ever used a word incorrectly? When I was younger, I used the word literally incorrectly all the time. I used to say that my stomach was literally about to explode, or that person is literally as tall as the Eiffel Tower. So the day that I was told that no, my stomach actually wasn't going to explode, or that person actually is only 2 meters and not 324 meters, I was shocked. I was embarrassed. I finally knew how to use the word literally in a correct way. Maybe for you, there's a word which you've used wrong in your lifetime. Maybe there's a certain word which you've been using incorrectly for a while. Maybe it's this word which we use in a church setting all the time. We hear it thrown around in Christian circles. We hear it thrown into prayers. We hear it thrown into feedback. We hear it thrown into what people are most excited about when they gather with other Christians. It might be a word used to describe an encouraging time that you spent with other Christians. It might be a word that you've heard so often that you actually don't know its meaning and its purpose, and the power that it has. And that word that I'm trying to allude to is fellowship. Yep, you've heard it a lot of times, haven't you? I wonder what that word means to you. I wonder what fellowship means to you. What does it lead to? Well, today we're looking at the idea that Christian fellowship leads to transformation. It leads to us being transformed to be more like Jesus in how we live, in how we speak, in how we interact with others. Christian fellowship is what God has designed us for. It's what He's created us for. And now, for many of you, I think you're probably nodding along at this point. You're agreeing with these things. You agree with Christian fellowship leading to transformation and it being designed for us, what we were designed to spend time in. From chatting to many of you guys who have joined All Saints, I know that the fellowship and the community that you've experienced has been something that has drawn you in. Seeing a community that loves God and loves others. Yet for some of you, this big word that gets thrown around, fellowship, isn't that important. It's not a high priority on your list. You're happy to do things on your own. You're happy to do things in isolation. Or you're happy just to do them with people you're comfortable with. Well, today I really want us to spend time looking into God's Word and seeing what the Bible says Christian fellowship is. As if we truly get, if we truly understand what this Christian fellowship is, and we live that out, we're going to be transformed into the type of community and the type of church that God has intended for us and is created for us to flourish in. And it's what a famous Christian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, calls an unspeakable gift of God for the lonely individual that can easily be disregarded and trodden underfoot by those who have the gift every day. So, with that in mind, let's pray and ask that God would be growing us through His Word right now. Let's pray. God, as we come to Your Word, would You open our eyes and would You soften our hearts? Lord, help us see how amazing this idea of fellowship is, that we can spend time in fellowship with others. Help us see how it points us to You and how it transforms us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what is Christian fellowship? What is it? Is it going to the beach with other Christians? Is it going to the cafe with other Christians? Is it hanging out with other Christians? What is it? I think the way we see the word fellowship used very often is referring to fellowship meaning hanging out with other Christians. That's the meaning we give fellowship, simply hanging out with other Christians. But that isn't fellowship. That's simply called hanging out with other Christians. So what is it that makes something Christian fellowship? Well, an amazing picture we get of a community transformed by Christian fellowship is found in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. And we see, we've heard this read earlier for us. In that passage, we see a community that's transformed by fellowship, that's devoted to it, where they all meet together, where they meet each other's needs, where they're generous, where they're devoting to pray, devoted to praising God together. Well, how do we become a community like that in Acts that is transformed by our fellowship? Well, for us today, we really need to see what true Christian fellowship is. As once we grasp onto that, only then will we become a transformed community. Only then will that lead to transformation. So what might help us as we do that, as we see what fellowship is to think of fellowship as a coin. There are two sides to a coin, and only and on one side of that coin, we're going to see that fellowship is centered on the gospel. Fellowship has to be centered on something. A fair few years ago, I used to be part of a cycling club, where we shared a love for all things cycling and riding bikes. So that meant that I would go on early morning rides. It meant that I would wear the full Lycra get up. It meant that I'd make many cafe stops along these rides. Now you might be thinking, why would you want to be part of that? Lycra's yuck, early mornings are tough. And yeah, after a while, to be honest, I started to not be a huge fan of those things. I honestly think it was the Lycra, but what I once had in common with these people, what I once had fellowship in with other people on the club was gone. I no longer had fellowship with them. I no longer did what they did, as my love for cycling was gone. So if we think about Christian fellowship, it also must be centered on something. And that something is the gospel. That is what motivates us to be part of Christian fellowship. So if you listened carefully earlier, and I'd love for you to keep your Bibles open to Romans 12, because we'll be spending a bit of time in there. But if you listened earlier to it being read out, you would have noticed that Romans 12 has plenty of commands. Plenty of commands that we're supposed to listen to and obey and live out. Some of them include being devoted to one another, to honor one another, to live in harmony with one another. But I want you to see that these commands don't come from out of nowhere. No, these commands, they come from God's mercy and grace in our lives. They come from the gospel. Look at Romans 12 verse 1 with me. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy." Paul starts with the word therefore, which means we need to take a look back at chapter 11, all the way back to chapter 1, to see what he's referring to. But if you know the book of Romans, this could take a while, so let me summarize it for you very quickly in a short little sentence. Romans 1 to 11 basically says that we are the awkward outcasts. We're the one who can't be brought to God to a relationship with him because of our sinful hearts. And yet, Jesus left heaven to be with us. He left heaven to pursue us so that we could be brought back into his family, despite knowing that we couldn't pay him back because he's the only way. This is the good news. I've probably just done Romans 1 to 11 a lot of injustice, but I hope you see that Romans 12, all the commands in it on what fellowship should look like is based on the gospel. This is what our fellowship should be centered on. Without this gospel, there's no fellowship. And if we're not pointing back to this gospel, there also isn't fellowship. We're to be a living sacrifice, as it says in verse 1, a signpost that points others towards this gospel. So when you're around other Christians, the truth is that you're not in fellowship unless you're pointing each other back towards the gospel and living out the gospel in your lives. Now, some of you might be thinking at this point, does that mean that I need to talk about the Bible all the time? That I always need to be praying with people around me for it to be fellowship? Well, you can, but no. You can turn ordinary things into great moments of fellowship. Maybe it's watching a game of sport. You pray on the way there. You act differently at the game. Perhaps it's a meal with friends. Rather than just chewing the fat with them and talking about your weekend, you share how you've been going with Jesus and the amazing things he's been doing in your life, or the things that you're struggling with in your walk with him. Now, I just want to be careful here and say you can do these things. You can talk about the Bible. You can pray for each other. You can chat about church, and it still won't be fellowship. Fellowship isn't measurable. It's not a tick off the list sort of thing. It's not a, if I do this, it's fellowship. Christian fellowship is a response to the gospel. It's a heart response which shapes how we interact with others. What changes Christian socializing into Christian fellowship is when we respond to the gospel by embodying the gospel. We can turn ordinary moments of fellowship, into fellowship moments when the gospel is made evident in how we live. So, fellowship is centered on the gospel. But the flip side of this coin of fellowship is that we're united with each other. We've just seen in Romans 12, verse 1 to 2, that we're to serve God because of the mercy he has shown us. And now, as we work our way through this passage, Paul begins to focus on the fact that because we're united with God, we're now united with our other brothers and sisters in Christ. Our vertical relationship is linked to our horizontal relationship. Vertical is linked to the horizontal. We can't gather to worship God and have nothing to do with the people around you. Just like you can't separate two sides of a coin. They're together. Paul says in verse 4, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Did you listen to that? Just as the parts of the body are joined and belong to each other, so in Christ we're connected together. He is the one who unites us. We're not connected by our hobbies, by our friend groups, by our shared experiences, and by the food we enjoy, but we're simply connected together by Christ. This is why we simply can't just hang out with people who have similar interests to us, who like the same things and are in a similar stage to us. We should simply be content with having Jesus as the only thing in common. Just the one thing in common. This is what God has intended for us and how we're to flourish and be transformed in community. This is a key part of Christian fellowship. I often hear the excuse, "Oh, you can't be that close with everyone. You can't be friends with the whole church. So look, I'm just going to find a small group and be good friends with them and have fellowship with them." But far too often I see that excuse being used and being hid behind, because you end up just hanging out with the same people, doing fellowship with the same people. If you're doing that, I honestly think you aren't truly seeing how amazing fellowship is, how amazing of a life in community God has intended for you. So it's clear that if you're in a relationship with Jesus, if you're united with him, the flip side of that is you're united with your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the truth. You belong to them. You're a part of their family. So when you get Christ, when you get a relationship with him, guess what? You get everyone. You get the church. That's right, you get us. You get me. You get broken people like us. Yes, there's going to be ups. Yes, there's going to be downs. There's going to be moments of drama, of rejoicing, of mourning, of pain. But that's the whole point. We're united with one another because we're united with Christ. You can't separate that. So if you're united with Christ's love, that's going to lead to awkward conversations. It's going to lead to hanging out with people you don't know that well. And so that's how we show his love. That's how we show we're united with him. It's a response, right? In verse 6, we see that we all have different gifts. And this is another part of the beauty of it. If everyone has a different gift, if everyone belongs together and each of these people have a different gift, everyone has something to bring. Everyone counts and everyone is needed. Not just the people up the front, not just the people doing tech and behind the scenes sort of work. Everyone has something to bring. You have something to bring. You are needed in this church. You are needed to build it up. So look around you. You might be on your own, so maybe think about other people in your church family. Or if you're with others, look around you. Each person around you has a gift. And each person has something to bring to the body of Christ. So if you miss this, if we miss this, we're prone to leaving people out. We're prone to leaving people on the fringes, and these are people who have something to bring. So Christian fellowship means we're united with one another. And for Christian fellowship to be transformative, it also means that it's going to lead us to serve one another. If you haven't gotten it yet, Christian fellowship, it's all about one another. It's not about you. It's not about me. Recently, I started playing a game that some of you might know, and it's a game called The Mind. It's a card game. And it's a bit different to a standard card game because usually there's one winner, right? Well, in this game called The Mind, you're all part of one team. There's only one team, and you're all part of it. And you're either going to all win together or all lose together. So what you do is you place these cards down in order without saying anything or gesturing anything to anyone. It's a game where you got to think about the other person. Where you got to think about the person on your left and on your right. Everyone on your team. You got to think about them. You got to think about how you're going to work together. How you can all best work together to win. And if I'm honest, it's such a weird game to play. Because when you play the game, you're in a mindset where you're like, how do I play for my own gain? How do I win? And isn't this how we feel about church at times? We think about it in terms of what do I gain? What do I get out of it? What do I get if I come and I serve? And it feels weird to think about what can I do rather than what can I gain? I want the talk to be good. I want the music to be good. Oh, the supper better be delicious. And the people around me better not be weird. I want to be careful here and acknowledge that we all have needs which we need met when we come to church. But here in Romans 12, Paul, after he says that we belong to each other, he gives 24 commands. And these commands aren't focused about me, but they're focused about others. The Bible is showing us that the way to meeting our needs isn't what we think it is. It isn't by centering things on ourselves. God's actually designed for us to have our needs met when we center our lives on others. Think about it. If everyone turns up to church thinking, how can I serve the people around me? Well, guess what? You're going to be the one person around the 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 people who are also thinking the same thing, who are thinking about how can I serve the people around me? And I know many of you have this mentality. And I want to encourage you to keep going with this. There's a reason why, All Saints flourishes because of many of you guys who have this mindset each time you come to church. But maybe for you, this has been a challenge. It's been hard to hear. The truth is that we're not the center of the picture. God is. And our fellowship is to reflect that. As when we do that, when we reflect that, when we serve one another instead of serve ourselves, it leads to a community that is drastically different from what this world can offer. So different that Jesus even says in John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." That last bit, verse 35, is a key bit. When we're in fellowship with one another, that leads to a witnessing community, one that draws others in. Leads to us fulfilling our purpose. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if hearing this is making you tired. The truth is that it's easier to be someone who comes along on a Sunday, chats to their friends, gets some morning tea or supper or whatever, and leaves. It's a lot easier to be selective in who you speak to. It's hard to be intentional with your church family. It's hard to get to know everyone, no matter how different they are. It's hard to bear each other's burdens. It's hard to be around people who are different from you, let's be honest. It's hard to do as verse 16 says, to live in harmony with one another, to associate with those in low position. But if you come back to verse 1 with me, see that we're meant to be a living sacrifice. Paul's showing us that it's not meant to be easy. This fellowship thing, it's not easy. I'm sure many of you guys know this, but it's not easy. But what fuels us to do, to spend time in Christian fellowship, to invest in it, is knowing where our fuel comes from. And Paul points to this when he says it's in view of God's mercy. The truth is that if Christ isn't fueling your fellowship, if he isn't involved in your fellowship at all, if you're not aware of Jesus' example, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle being in fellowship with others at church. You're going to struggle to be united. You're going to struggle to serve one another. Without him there, there is no Christian fellowship. There is no point in it. So can I encourage you, if you're struggling in Christian fellowship, if you struggle to be intentional, if you struggle to put Christ at the center, if you find it tiring, if you find it tough, can I encourage you to immerse yourself in the gospel? Have that be what fuels you. All saints, can we be a community that lives out true Christian fellowship? Can we be a community that lives out fellowship that is centered on the gospel, that knows that we're united with one another and wants to serve one another? Because if we do, we're going to be a community where no one is left on the fringe, where no one is excluded, where each person is pointed to the gospel and is built up. Let's be a community that is devoted to this. Let's be a community that's devoted to spending time with one another and being intentional in encouraging one another and supporting for each other and praying for one another. Let's do that as we point each other to the day that Jesus returns. If our fellowship is centered on the gospel, if it's about being united with one another and serving one another, we're going to be transformed into this amazing image, which Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 gives. And I'll end with this. It says, "The whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Can we be that community? Let's pray. Lord, yeah, we're a church family here who wants to serve you, but too easily forget what true Christian fellowship is. We forget the gift of true Christian fellowship. And we hang out with people who we're comfortable with, we exclude people, and we serve ourselves, not others. And Lord, I pray for us now that you would empower us by your Spirit to be living out lives that are centered on the gospel, and to be in fellowship where we know that we're united with one another, when we serve one another. And I pray that as we do this, Lord, that you'd build us into a church family that witnesses to others in this community. A community here at All Saints that draws other people in. Lord, it's not easy, but we have you and we have your spirit in us. So would you empower us to do this? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.